The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. You know, I don't usually pay attention to the groundhog. But last week, the groundhog told us that we were going to have an early spring. So I'm betting on the groundhog. I really hope he's right this year. Tiny little thought for you. Just a tiny little thought for you here this morning. You ever, you know, you've been hearing the Gospels for many, many years. You've heard them read many, many times. And you've heard the stories of when Jesus walks along the shores of the Sea of Galilee and he sees Peter and James and John and he calls to them, "Come follow me," the Lord says. And what do the Gospels tell us that they do? They drop everything and immediately, and they go and follow the Lord. You ever wondered why they do that? I mean, why would they just drop? I mean, it's not normal behavior. What, did Jesus like glow or something? Like have a halo? Or why would they drop everything? Have you ever wondered why they would drop everything and follow Jesus? You know, this gospel here, it gives us a little tiny bit of an insight. It tells us only about the call of St. Peter, okay? But in greater detail than you get any place else in the Bible, and it only shows up here in the Gospel of Luke. Two things you get from this little gospel here. Number one, it shows how personal God's call is. And secondly, it shows us just how much God will do through us if only we'll offer him our cooperation. Two little points that we get out of this. Okay, so you heard the story where Jesus is standing by the Sea of Galilee and he's teaching the crowds, and they're crowding in so much on the Lord that he didn't even have a place to stand. And so he steps into a fishing boat. And not just any fishing boat. He steps into Simon Peter's fishing boat. And this he does quite deliberately and for two reasons, okay? Practically speaking, you know, you get in that boat and he's going to use it as his way to speak to all the crowds gathered all around. You know how voices travel so easily over the water. And people are going to line up on the shore and it's going to be just like an amphitheater, okay? But secondly, and much, much more importantly, he knows he's going to call St. Peter. He's going to call him to be an apostle. He's going to call him to be his closest follower. He's going to call him to be the first leader of his new church. But before he calls him, he first has to test him. Okay, so as soon as he's done speaking, turns to St. Peter and he says, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." A command which makes zero sense to St. Peter. Okay, so let's just remember, not only is Peter a fisherman, but Peter owns a fishing business. And you can tell right here in this gospel. He got multiple boats, he got multiple employees. Not only is Peter a fisherman, Peter owns an entire fishing business, which is a short way of saying the man knows how to catch a fish. So when he says, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch, four reasons why that makes zero sense to St. Peter. Okay? First reason, out on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, the time for catching fish is at night. If you haven't caught anything by morning, it's time to pack up your nets and go home, which is exactly what St. Peter's doing when Jesus suddenly says, why don't you go back out and try again? Which makes absolutely no sense, okay? Second thing, the best fishing on the Sea of Galilee isn't out in the deep. It's close to the shore. And you can tell this because you look at all the other Gospels and they're always fishing right close to the shore. It makes no sense at all. Third reason is it says they've just gotten finished washing their fishing nets. And washing your fishing net was a labor-intensive, time-consuming, and quite frankly, annoying job. You got all that algae in there, and you got, you know, seaweed, you got to clean all that out. And once you're finished, the last thing you want to do is drop them back in the water again. You know, and then fourthly, let's not forget, Jesus is a carpenter. Greek word is tekton, right? And as a rule, fishermen don't like it when carpenters tell them how to fish. Okay? So put out into the deep water makes no sense whatsoever. In fact, it seems crazy to St. Peter. But there's one thing that Peter knows is even crazier. Crazy as it sounds to take our Lord's advice, it's even crazier to ignore him. Remember now, this is not the first time Peter's met Jesus. One chapter earlier here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was over at his house, and he says that he cured his mother-in-law. Luke says she had a deep fever, and Jesus just walks up, and just one touch, suddenly and instantly, she's better. Okay, so Peter knows this is a special, special man. So he goes out, and he does as he's told, sets his ego aside, and you know what happens next. Nets strained to the breaking point, a miraculous catch of fish, the likes of which he's never seen before. I mean, I'm sure many of you have been on fishing trips. I've been on fishing trips. I've been on some good fishing trips, right? But I've never caught so many fish that it almost made the boat sink. This was a highly unusual catch of fish. And Peter knows he's talking to somebody who's quite unusual. I mean, this man controls the forces of nature. But do you see how tailor-made this call is to St. Peter? Remember, Peter is so impetuous. He's got lots in the showroom and not a lot in the storeroom, right? He's always quick at the mouth and slow to think, and he thinks he knows everything. And here's Jesus, gets into his boat. He doesn't ask permission first. He just gets in. Right? He says, come follow me. Doesn't tell him where he's going to go. But he proves to him here that if all he'll do is cooperate, in spite of all of his faults, God will do more through him than he ever could have done on his own. St. Peter, utterly awestruck at what has just happened. Utterly awestruck. And when he gets back to shore, now I hope you understand why he drops everything and follows the Lord. Now, was there something that personal for all the apostles when they were called? Well, we're not really sure. That's what's so great about this story. At least it tells us about Peter. But it reminds us, you know, God still calls. Still calls. He calls us to big lifelong commitments. Things like becoming a priest or getting married, lifelong commitments. But more to the point, he's calling us all the time. All day long. Constantly calling to your mind and to your conscience to hear his voice, to keep his commandments, to offer him what you've got in spite of your weaknesses so that he can work through you. And this is the great thing about this gospel. It shows us something we're supposed to remember, how much he'll do. And what I'd like to tell you is that this miraculous result, that doesn't just happen sometime you cooperate with God. That happens every time you cooperate with the Lord. Now, you know quite as well as I do, you don't always get to see the results. But you got to stand fast in faith a little bit. A lot of times you do get to receive the results. Maybe not all at once. I heard a story not long ago, and it was about a cardinal in Vietnam, Cardinal Nguyen Van Thuan. He was Archbishop of Saigon in 1975. That was the year the North Vietnamese finally took over the South and Saigon fell to the North. Well, when the Communists took over Saigon, Cardinal Thuan was sent to prison. And he would spend the next 13 years in Vietnamese prison camps. And he writes all about this in his writings. First thing that happened was he despaired. He thought, what good could possibly come out of this? And he despaired. But as time went by, you know, he decided to trust. He figured God had his purposes and is powerful enough to bring good even out of this. So he set his ego aside and he decided to trust. And then, you know what happened? Is they started transferring him around from one prison camp to the next. And they transferred him and they transferred him. For 13 years, they transferred him all across the country, different prison camps in Vietnam. And suddenly, with no explanation, they released him from prison and exiled him from the country. And only then did he find out what was going on. Turns out that every time they'd send the cardinal to prison, it inspired the faith of all the other people in the prison, right? And they'd say, the cardinal's in jail with us, and it would inspire their faith. And of course, they didn't want that, so they'd move him into the next prison. And then it would happen again. And it would happen again and again. And then finally they realized, you know, every place we send this guy, all he does is inflame the faith of the people. We can't have any of that happening. And if we kill him, we're just going to make a martyr out of him. So they exiled him from the country. And he finds out later that for 13 years, he's evangelized his country far more effectively than he ever could have done. And he didn't even know he was doing it. Now, that's how your Heavenly Father works. You're not always going to get to see what you do, okay? But our Lord always works through us. You know, you come to the end of your days, we're going to discover two things. Come to the end of your days, please God, we all make it to heaven, right? And from that perspective, we're going to look back on this life and we're going to see two things. Number one, that the most important thing you've ever done with your life was to lead other people to God, to help them to know who God is, to help them to love God more, to help them to serve God better. You're going to realize wherever you did that, that was the most important thing you did in your whole life. And secondly, you're going to realize that God was the one who did it. He just did it through you. He just did it with your cooperation. And not only did he do it through your faults, very often he did it because of your faults. So, you know, you hear this and you think, well, gosh, well I'm such a wreck. I'm not any good. I'm totally inadequate. Well, join the club. Here's St. Peter in the gospel. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Here's Isaiah in the first reading. I'm a man of unclean lips. Here's St. Paul in the second reading. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. I'm the worst. True confessions here this morning, right? Your priest stands before you, and every time I stand before you and speak, I think, who am I? Who am I to proclaim the gospel? I feel totally inadequate for what I'm doing, completely inadequate. When I was a little boy, I used to look up at the priest, you know, and just, I used to think, I wonder what priests are like when they're little kids. And then I became a priest, and my brother turns to me and he says, I used to have so much admiration for priests, but now I figure anybody can do it. Probably shouldn't have said that. But here's the thing. Cooperate with the Lord. Offer him what you've got. And I promise you, he's not just going to bear fruit, he's going to bear abundant fruit. And it's why I'm so fond of saying that if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.